Morning. Today's daf and chulin chav ches. We are in chav zayin amid beis, and we are starting at the bottom of the amud. We're almost up to the Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. That's going to be a big figure coming up in just a moment. But just a little bit of a background. Yesterday we talked about the requirement to shecht an animal, the no requirement to shecht a fish, and then birds. Birds are existing somewhere in the middle. So and I say that almost literally. As we go back to yesterday's daf, you remember that when a successful shechita of an animal requires that you go through both simonim, both the kan and the veshet. The kan is the trachea, the veshet is the esophagus. The kan, by the way, also has a synonymous term which is called gargaris. You're going to see that term in the course of today's daf, and it's a synonymous term. It's also another way of describing the trachea. So when an animal you shecht both, you have to slice through both of them in order for it to be successful shechita. We learned back in the mission yesterday. Rubo, you only have to go through the majority of the both, but there is a din d'araisa. I take that back. There may be a din d'araisa. That's more accurate. There may be a din d'araisa to have to go through the totality of both the simanim. At least a din d'rabanan to go through the totality of both simanim. But in any event, though, you cut through both and you shecht it. When it comes to fish, so you take your hook, you throw it over the boat. Hopefully you'll catch a good one. And then what do? You bring it onto the boat, and that's it. So you don't need to shecht it. You just simply, you can't eat it while it's alive for reasons which the Gemara never discusses, but the Rishonim discuss. But that's it. There's no requirement of shechita as it relates to fish. And then when it comes to birds, so where do birds exist? So birds exist in the middle. By an animal, it's 2 simanim. By a fish, it's 0 simanim. And so what about a bird? So we know the halacha. And that is that yeshecht, one of the simanim. That's what our Mishnah taught us. And why should that be? So it could be a number of things. It could be that altogether the shechita of a bird is not minatara, it's just midrabanan, and the chachamim struck like a balance between animals and fish. It could be that it's a din d'araisa, but just it's different regarding a bird. And a lot of these possibilities we're going to be exploring over the course of today's daf. And so let's get underway. We are now in the Gemara, in discussions that took place between the Tanayim. Va'od sha'alu. This is where we left off yesterday, another question that was asked. Now, va'od means that this is a continuation of a discussion. So a continuation of a longer discussion. So this is not here, but rather the Gemara in Bukharos. When we get to the beginning of Bukharos, we're going to be exposed to some of the, what I'll call the strangest of the agaritas that exist in Shas. But it's strange only because it's really hard to decipher and understand. In other words, but if you have proper understanding, so then it's very powerful agarita over there. A lot of discussions that take place between Rebbe Gamliel and a Hegemon and some sort of Roman governor, Roman general, and it's almost impossible to decipher exactly what the give was, what the take was. But one of the discussions that took place actually is very straightforward, and so this is what we're continuing from. By the way, everything I just said was straight out of Rashi. So, va'oshalu kasavechad amar v'yamal kimishtutzu amayim sheretz nefesh chaya va'ofio faith. So, when you look carefully at the psukim, so it sounds like where are the birds coming from? Ama mimaya ivre. It sounds like it's coming out of the water, meaning that the birds, the bird kingdom is generated from the water. That's what it seems like from my sabratius. That's at least the first parak, and then you get to the second parak. Uksiva yitzei Hashem lokim en adama kol chayas asadeh. The eskol ofa shamayim. And now you go to Perek Beis and it sounds like where are the birds being generated from? From the earth, from the ground. So amami ara ivru. So amrlo minarakak nivru. So Rabbi Gamliel's answer is yes. Yes and yes. Yes, it comes from the water, yes, it comes from the earth, it comes from the mud. That's how birds are generated. And this ties exactly to where we ended off yesterday. Well, yesterday we noted that because fish come from the sea, so therefore no shechita is required. And since animals come from the land, are generated from the land, so therefore they do need a shechita. Birds are coming from something in between, so therefore we split the difference, and the average is one. Only one of the simanim need to be cut. Ra talmid of mistaklim zebezeh. So now the students are overhearing to this conversation, and they're looking at each other, meaning, what? Huh? They don't understand. Armalem kasha beinechem shedechisi es oivai bekash. So Rabbi Gamliel says, really bothers you so much that I gave a pretty straightforward, simple answer and quieted him. Don't let that bother you. So minamayim nivru. No, you want the real answer. The real answer is that really the bird kingdom comes from water. Adam shame, and it was brought to Adam just simply so that Adam can give them a name. But in other words, but the real source of where the birds come from is water. Okay. Now Yeshar Mim Balashan Acher. Amarlosa Egman of Lashan Arishan Amarlan Latamid of Mishum Tchsiv al Vayitzar. And I hear you. Okay. In another version, the Gemara says that basically the answer that he gave to the students is the one that he gave to the Hegmon, and the answer they gave to the Hegmon is the one he gave to the students. Okay, so that is another version of what just occurred, of what just happened. Okay, in the Gemara now we are starting on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Am Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Yitzchak Ben Pinchas, and here we go. A lot of very basic sugyas that we're going to be doing in today's daf, and here we begin sugya number one. Ein shchita lof min haTorah shenemar v'shafach b'shchita b'shficha ba'ama sagin. So the big statement of Rav Yitzchak Ben Pinchas is that min haTorah bird does not need to be shechted. He is not arguing the fact that midrabanan you do shchita, as we learned together in the Mishnah. It's just that according to Rav Yitzchak Ben Pinchas, it is not a din d'oraisa. It is only a din d'rabanan. Now, in terms of a nafkamino, you can make the argument that we could be, if there's a suffix, if there's a shaila, so we could be more makel. Okay, we could, but in other words, but fundamentally he holds that it's not a din d'oraisa. And he hangs it on the fact that when the Torah describes the preparation of a bird, the Torah, instead of using the word shechita, the Torah uses the word shficha, which just simply means that I need to extract the blood. But that's it, though. I don't need to do more than that. So the now, earlier we had a hekesh, and if you take a look at Rashi over here, ain't shechita lof min haTorah. Rashi's just a little bit below where we are in the Gemara. Vekesh dezos Torah lakusha behema lemelikas ov shetei shechitas min haTzavar ki darmin la'el ve'afilu mitorah shabal peh me'alach l'moshe mesinai ain lo ela midivrei sofrim. And so Rashi points out over here Rashi points out over here that as far as the hekesh is concerned, the hekesh is for malika. But we're not talking about a bird being offered as a carbon. We're talking about regular shechita schulin of a bird. And then Rashi also points out, not only is it not based on a pasuk in the Torah, it's not even halach l'moshe m'sinai, according to Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. Furthermore, Rashi then points out, v'nein nevas of kuri nevela, ela im kein mesa me'aleha, o harga b'makash shalai yidei simanim. Now, Rashi deals with a really, really interesting point. If there is no shechita of a bird min haTorah, so how does a bird become a nevela? Such a good question. Consider. We know that there's such a thing as a nevela as it relates to birds. It has to be. Because we know that how does a bird transmit tuma? How does a dead bird transmit tuma? If it's a nevela and you eat a kezias of that bird, which is a nevela, so you're going to become tame. This is Nivla Sof Tahar. So it's Metame Bebeis Abliya. We discussed it yesterday, and we're discussing it right now again. And so there has to be a way for a bird to become a Nevela. But consider that if Shechita is not Minatora, so that means that any way that you kill the bird, it's not a Nevela. Because the Torah does not give a specific directive to go ahead and to Shech the bird. Wonderful. Rashi's sensitive to this, and Rashi writes that, okay, here's what I'll say. That if I kill the bird with the simanim, now how do you attack the simanim? It doesn't really matter. You could do shechita, slicing it with a knife. You could do nechira, tearing it instead of horizontally. You could tear it vertically. As long as you attack the simanim and kill the bird through the simanim, so then it's not a nevela. But if the bird either dies on its own or through some other wound outside of the simanim, so then the bird is going to be a nevela. That's Rashi's way of explaining how it's possible where if shechita sa'of is enum in a Torah, the bird can still become a nevela. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara is bothered by the sourcing of Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. Ihachi, or pick it up right where we left off. Ihachi chayanama, chayanami. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so what about a chaya? A chay, which is not being brought as a carbon. A chay, there are numerous chayas in the Torah that we can eat, notably tzviva ayal, are two examples of chayas that we're allowed to eat. So you want to tell me now that they also don't require shechita? So the Gemara says, no, itish lepsula mikdashim. So the Gemara says, no, but there is a hekesh in the Torah regarding animals that were fit at once to be brought as a carbon, have a blemish and therefore no longer fit, those are described as psulim mukdashim and tzviva ayal. And what's the hekesh there to teach us? It's very simple. Just like psulim mukdashim requires shechita, so too tzviva ayal requires shechita. Gemara says, "Of nami itkishle behema dichsiv zos tarasa behema va'of." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but if in terms of a hekesh, I also have a hekesh between psulim mukdashim and birds as well." So haksiv v'shafach is damo. So the Gemara says, that's true, but I also have another pasuk telling me that regarding a bird, I don't have to shecht it, I just simply have to spill its blood. So the Gemara says, yeah, but v'shafach is damo, how do I know that that's going on a bird? Maybe it's going on a chaya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you read the pasuk carefully, you'll see that the pasuk, in terms of progression, has the pasuk v'shafach is damo right after the mentioning of birds. Therefore, it is going back and describing and qualifying the birds and not the chayos and not the psula hamukdashin. So therefore, the Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas, just simply with a simple, careful reading of the Torah, arrives at the conclusion that birds do not require shechita min haTorah, animals do, and when we say animals, we do not differentiate between behemoth and chayos. They both require a shechita. Okay, and so what we're going to be doing over the course of our first sugya in today's daf is we're going to be challenging the position of Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. And seemingly, it is an unsupportable position. It is hard to defend. And so here we begin. We're going to be going through a number of Mishnayos and Braisos that seemingly attack his position. The parenthesis that gives us a mnemonic to help us remember the next three Braisos and Mishnayos that we're going to be quoting from makes way. So here we go with a Mishnah that comes up later in the Masechta. Later in the Masechta, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. If I shecht either a chaya or an oaf, so the blood that goes onto the floor, so there's a mitzvah of the Torah to cover that blood with dirt. More of that to be explored later in the Masechta. In the meantime, however, the halacha is actually very straightforward. In order for there to be a mitzvah of Kisui Adam, it has to be a shechita. If I do anything else to the animal that extracts the blood of that animal, there is no mitzvah of Kisui Adam. The Braisa says later, it's a Mishnah, sorry. The Mishnah says later, Ashochiv nesnavla biyado, if you shecht and while shechting the animals in nevela, meaning you didn't do a proper shechita for whatever reason, shehiya, hadrasa, whatever the case was, or hanocher v'ama'aker, or I do nechira, instead of slicing the simanim the way shechita requires, I go ahead and vertically cut the pipes, nechira, or ikur, I just simply tear the pipes out of the place, dislocate them from the jaw of the animal. So in all of these cases, patur melachasos, there's no mitzvah of kisui adam for the very simple reason that what you did not do is shechita. And if you did not do shechita, there's no mitzvah of kisui. V'ya martin shechita lof min haTorah nechira sazui shechita so lebai kisui. The Gemara asks such a strong question. If there is no mitzvah of shechita of a bird min haTorah, so then what are you doing when you're doing nechira? According to the Torah, shechita. Nechira and shechita are equivalent to each other. If you hold ein shechita lo'of min haTorah, to which the Gemara says mitzvah is ba'of lo b'chaya. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but that mission that we just learned together, you assumed it was talking about birds. Maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about chayas and not birds, and so therefore the raya against Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas may not be such a good raya. We move on to number two, Tashma. It's the last line of Chaf Zainam and Beis. Hashochet tzarch ledam, chayv lechasos. Let's say your objective is you need blood. You need blood. We'll go over a couple of reasons why it is that you need blood. Blood is aser ba'achila, but it's not aser ba'hana. So if you want blood for whatever reason, so good. Right, we'll go over examples. So you want the blood. The problem is that if you shech the animal, so you have the mitzvah to cover the blood. So what do you do? So the first thing the Mishnah tells us is, hashochet tzarch ledam, chayv lechasos. Well, if I shechted, but I really needed the blood, I'm sorry, but you got to cover the blood because you shechted. And there's a mitzvah of Kisui Adam. And even if your objective was the blood, but it doesn't matter. You did shechita, there's a mitzvah of covering the blood. So, ketzad uosa. So, what do you do? If I only want the blood, so what you do is something which is very simple. Don't shecht the animal. Kill the animal in another way. O nochro, o okro. So, either do nechira or rip out the simanim. So, that's the advice given by the Mishnah. Now, again, the question comes out to be the same exact question. If we're talking about birds, so what is nechira when it comes to a bird? According to Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas, Nechira and Shechita are synonymous. It's the same thing. So much like there would be a mitzvah of Kisu as it relates to Shechita, there would also be a mitzvah of Kisu as it relates to Nechira. And meanwhile, the Mishnah tells us, nah, if you want to keep the blood, do Nechira. So my love, ba'of dekabai leiladame liyanicha. So the Gemara says, now what kind of animal do I need its blood? Bird blood. Do you know what it's great for? Now, I'm taking the Gemara over here at its word. The bird blood, I'd say don't try this at home. Bird blood is fantastic in terms of keeping the moths away. Right back in the good old days, you had the mothballs. I still have that smell in my memory. So I'm sure everyone here does. So what happened to those mothballs? So the bird blood is excellent in terms of keeping the moths away. So isn't that what the Bryce is talking about? So the Gemara says, no, lo b'chaya dekabai leledame lelacha. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about the blood of bird, we're talking about the blood of animals. The blood of animals is good for dye. Right? Rashi describes that we're going to use it to make some sort of red dye. And so therefore, the Mishnah over here was not talking about birds, it was talking about chayos. And again, it is not a good proof against Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. We continue. We're on the top of Chav Chesam and Aleph, three lines down, Tashma, Malak, Pesachim, Mitame, Begadim, Abes, Abliya. So if, let's say, you do Malika with a knife, so you're there with the bird, back of the neck, and with a knife, you do the act of Malika. So not with the fingernail. So now, what is that bird? So the bird is now a Nevela. And so therefore, consumption of that bird would result in Tumah. The Gemara now asks what seemingly is a very powerful question against Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. Now, if you're going to tell me that there is no shechita of a bird minatorah, so the Gemara says, now it's true, I'm with you, that when you are going first through the vertebrae, remember, this is Malika, so that means it's through the back of the neck. So when you're hitting the vertebrae and the spinal cord, so it's true that the bird is a trefa, but tahanele sakin latarami de nevela, but the knife is going to continue going through, and the knife is now going to hit the simonim. And so now, it may be a trefa, but at least, in the very least, it should be now that it received a proper shechita, so that it's not a nevela, and it's not going to be metame, abes ablia. If you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. You see, if you don't subscribe to his viewpoint, and you say that shechita is minatara, so then we totally understand. It makes perfect sense, because that's not a shechita. Shechita, by its very definition, means that you go through the front of the neck, and the first thing that you're cutting is the trachea, followed then by the esophagus. And because it's a bird, you don't have to do both, which we're going to be discussing in the next sugya. But in the meantime, that's if you hold that shechita is minatara, and I get it. But if you hold that ain shechita lof min haTorah, like Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas says, so then, okay, I understand the bird's a trefa, but it shouldn't become a nevela. So the Gemara says, Hudam or Kiaitana. So the Gemara says, you are right. Meaning, this brisa that we just quoted clearly is not supporting Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas, and just the opposite. It really attacks his position. But as now the Gemara is going to point out, but that's one Tana. What Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas will tell you is that the machlokas haTanaim, and I subscribe to a different Tana. And now what the Gemara is going to do is identify who's that other Tana that he subscribes to. So, who damer ki aitana de Tanya Rabbi Lazar Kafar Rebbe Omer ma tamalam achkashi achelas atzvi. So, once again, now we turn to our Parsha. I say our Parsha, it's the one that we continuously turn to every time we talk about the mitzvah of Shechita. So, the Torah introduces us to the idea of Shechita in the 12th parak of Devarim. Parshas Re'eh. So the Torah there goes through a long exposition about if you want to eat an animal, so you're going to bring it as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Torah says, now, well, let's say you live too far away from the Beis HaMikdash, so what do you do? So the Torah goes on to describe that what you're going to do is you're going to shecht what we describe as basar taiva, meaning meat simply because you want to eat meat. And so the Torah there says, HaMakom Asher Yivchar, sorry, Ki Yirchak Mimcha HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Lekech Lassim Shmo Sham. This is the 21st Pasuk. I'm sorry, Asher Nasan Hashem Lecha, Kasher Tzivi Sicha, V'achalta B'sharecha B'chol Avas Nafshecha. Fine. So the Torah introduces this idea that we're allowed to shecht an animal, Kasher Tzivi Sicha. Hang on to those two words in just a moment. The Gemara is going to darshan it. But then the next pasuk, Ach Kasher Ye'achel, Es Atzvi Ve'es Ha'ayal, Kein Tochlenu Atameva Tor Yachdav Yochlenu. And just like you eat tzvi va'ayal, A deer and a hart. Again, H-A-R-T. It's like a deer. So too, you're going to be able to eat these animals, and tame and tar yachtav yochlen, you can eat them both pure and impure. So over here, back to back, we have psukim regarding animals that are non-karbanos, and sviva ayal. And so what we classically refer to that as the hekesh, meaning that the Torah juxtaposes these two ideas right next to one another. What is it coming to teach us? So according to this braisa, here's exactly the point. And so the way that this Tana, now this Tana, by the way, is Rav Elazar Kafar. So the way Rav Elazar Kafar understands it is that the Hekesh over here is taking us from Tzvi Va'ayal back to Psule HaMukdashim, which is what was discussed previously in the Parsha. Ma Psule HaMukdashim B'Shechita, Tzvi Va'ayal B'Shechita. Just like Psule HaMukdashim requires Shechita, that the Torah clearly articulates, so too Tzvi Va'ayal. Now keep in mind, what are Tzvi Va'ayal? Animals that are never qualified to be brought as a karban, and yet the Torah allows us to eat them. Okay, great. How do you prepare them? And the answer is Shechita. How do I know that? Because according to Rav Elazar Kafar, based on this drasha that we're learning right now, Av Tzvi Va'ayal B'Shechita. Now Va'ov, Ein Lo Shechita Medivrei Torah, Ela Medivrei Sofrim. Now what about birds? Now you notice that in that particular parsha, there's no mention of birds whatsoever. Do you know why? So according to Rav Elazar Kafar, because there is no Shechita requirement by birds, Min HaTorah. Min Derabanan, yes, but not Min HaTorah. Good. So what we have over here is a clear braisa that is of the opinion that Shechitas Ha'of is Eina Min HaTorah. It's not a Torah requirement. Man Tana DePalagala DeRav Elazar Kafar Rebihi. Who argues? The Gemara notes, Rebbe argues, the Tanya Rebbe Omer. V'zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha. And once again, now we're going back to that pasuk, right? Yud Beis Chaf Aleph, 12:21. We go back to that pasuk in describing the mitzvah of shechita. Malamishin and Stav Moshe Alavesh Valakana Va'arov Echad Be'ov Va'arov Shtayim Be'Behema. So Rebbe learns out that the Kasher Tzivisicha is there to teach me that there is a halach l'Moshe Misinai that at Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe, here's how you're going to shecht animals and birds. Two simanim for the animals, one simanim for the bird, and also the idea of rov, that you don't have to shecht the entirety. Majority constitutes a successful shechita. Okay, and so this braisa, Rebbe, is certainly of the opinion that the shechita of a bird is min ha-Torah. When we say min ha-Torah, we don't mean explicitly mention the Torah, but the requirement is a Torah requirement to halach l'Moshe Misinai. Gematria for today. I know it's not what I parlay into most of the time. It's not my foray, but gematria. Why am I going into gematria? Because Tosfos does. If you want a really interesting Tosfos, so third Tosfos on the Amud. Now this is not exactly gematria the way you and I describe gematria. We talk about it in terms of assigning values to every letter of the Aleph Beis, and then working based on that. Gematria also is a looser term used by Tosfos to describe things like mnemonics and Rashi Tevos and things like that. Basically, hints and allusions in the Torah. The word ka'asher, right? Ka'asher tzivi sicha. Aleph, in other words, we're going to look at the letters Aleph, Shin, Resh. Aleph is Echad Ba'of. Shin, Shnaim Be'behema. Resh, Rubu Shal Echad Kamahu. Rov Echad Ba'of, Rov Shnaim Be'behema. Okay? And so that is going to be a wonderful siman, a gematria for today. And this goes all the way back to the Balei HaTosfos who have this Aleph Shin Resh. We're not done. Tosfos says, and you know what we can also do? We can also look at the word Ka'asher and we can read it backwards. And Rashi Tevos Lamafreya Shel Ka'asher Have Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu. So take the letters of Ka'asher, read them backwards, Reshin Aleph Chaf, and that stands for Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu. Okay, you're simanim for the day. But in other words, this is not a new one. It's been around for hundreds of years, perhaps even thousands of years. Anyway, we return back to our Gemara. So that is the end of our first sugya today. Quick summary. So there is a discussion/debate amongst the Tanayim. Shechita of a bird, is that min HaTorah midrabanan? So some are of the opinion amongst the Amoraim, notably Rav Yisrael ben Pinchas, that's midrabanan. Amongst the Tanaim, Rav Elazar Kafar, that's midrabanan. So already amongst the Amoraim and the Tanaim, there are those who say that the Shechita requirement by a bird is Eino min HaTorah. However, consensus would be, of the Gemara that shechita of a bird is minatara. Okay. And again, in terms of practical applications of these very big principles, so I suggested earlier maybe suffik. Okay. Again, something that we explored earlier this morning. If the shechita of a bird is eino minatara, so how do you render a bird a nevela? So Rashi addressed that question because if there's no shechita requirement, so any bird that dies shouldn't be a nevela because there was no shechita requirement. So Rashi addressed that question earlier as well. Our second sugya of the day is going to be surrounding the idea of, we know when it comes to a bird, how much of the bird do you have to shech? Only one stimen. Do you have a choice? Is it dealer's choice? Or when we say one stimen, is there a specifically one of the two that we should be shechting? Let's, for a moment, just before we start with the Gemara, just talk a little bit about the trachea and the esophagus. I'm not talking anatomically, I'm talking halachically. Okay, halachically, so the esophagus is more sensitive than the trachea. Again, I'm only speaking halachically. This is not physiology. But it could be related, obviously, but I'm just speaking halachically. When comparing the trachea and the esophagus is a more sensitive pipe, halachically. Well, how do I know that? Very simple. Because when it comes to the windpipe, so we know that a perforation on the windpipe does not chafe up the animal. Not only does a perforation not chafe up the animal, you can have a nice gaping hole in the trachea, and it's not going to chafe it up as well. You can have half of the trachea opened up, and the animal is not a trafa. That's the halacha. The majority of the trachea is opened, and if there is a slit running along the majority of the circumference of the trachea, okay, now the animal or bird is a trefa. But up until that point in time, it's not. How about the esophagus? A smallest perforation in the esophagus renders the animal a trefa. So halachically, you see that the esophagus is just highly more sensitive than that of the trachea. So if we're going to choose one of the two in terms of which pipe it would be, so if we had to make the choice, which, as we're going to conclude later in the Gemara, we don't, but if we had to choose, so I'd say the esophagus over that of the trachea. It's a more sensitive simen halachically. Okay, so with that stated, echad ba'of, itmar Rav Nachman amar yiveshet okana. So Rav Nachman says dealer's choice. The shochet has to shecht one of the pipes of the bird, but really he could choose. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be either one. Rav Ada Ba'ava amar veshev alokana, and according to Rav Ada Ba'ava, it is the esophagus, not the trachea. Now, so we have a machlokus amarayim, whether when the Mishnah says one, it means either, or specifically which one, and notably the esophagus. Now, Rav Nachman amar veshev alokana echa ketani, echa kol dehu. Now, as far as reading it into the Mishnah, Rav Nachman's position is really easy to read in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah just simply says one. The Mishnah does not say ha-echad. The Mishnah just simply says echad, which means you could choose which one you want. Rav Ada Ba'ava amar veshev alokana. Now, Rav Ada Ba'ava says it's the veshev, not the kana, my echad, miyuchad. Now, the way he reads the Mishnah, it's the same Mishnah, obviously. The way he reads the Mishnah is that the word echad means the one. Admittedly, it'd be a little bit better if the Mishnah would have said ha-echad, articulating that it is one, the one. Okay, but still, he understands echad to be miyuchad, the one. Meisvei. And I'm skipping the parentheses, which gives us a simanim to help us commit the Mishnah that we're going to be reading now, committing it to memory. And so here we begin with a lot of brises and a lot of Mishnayos, which would seem to indicate one way or another. Meisvei, we start with one shachar zaveshev achakach nishmata gargeres, kshera. Okay, now, we're talking about the dislocation of the trachea. Perhaps, probably, what we're describing over here is that basically the top of the trachea becomes dislocated from the jaw. Okay? But in any event, though, if the trachea becomes dislocated, the animal now is a trefa, obviously unable to shech such an animal. Now, we're talking here about a bird. Seemingly, we're talking about a bird over here. And if you shech the esophagus, yeah, we are talking about a bird. Let's keep it nice and clear. If you slice the esophagus, and after you do that, the trachea becomes dislocated, kshera. Well, that's fine, because the dislocation occurs after you shechted it. So that's fine. Nishmata gargaz v'acha kach shacha es haveshet pesula. Now, if the dislocation occurs before the shechita, well, that's not fine, and therefore it's disqualified. Shacha zaveshet v'nimsa gargar shmuta. Let's say you cut the esophagus, and then you weren't paying careful attention, but then post-shechita you noticed that the trachea is dislocated. And you do not know when the dislocation occurred. Did it occur before the shechita or after? And that makes obviously the world of difference. If it occurred beforehand, the animal's a trefa. Can't eat it. If it occurred afterwards, it's post-shechita. That's fine. But you don't know when it happened. And so this is classically what we refer to as a suffix. So what do we say? This event occurred. And so what did they say? They said, look, it's a suffix by the shechita, and we can't be makel, we're going to be machmir. And therefore the animal is not kosher. Now, you notice with all these cases that we have just gone through, what was the case repeatedly? You cut the esophagus, and the only question now was the dislocation of the trachea. Why didn't we give the inverse case, where I was cutting the trachea and the esophagus becomes dislocated? So what the Gemara is trying to argue now is, oh, you know why? Because you must shecht the esophagus, not the trachea. So the Gemara says, Mishum de gargaris avid lishtemute. I'm sorry. So, v'ilu shchita begaris lo ketani. So the Gemara's answer is, Mishum de gargaris avid lishtemute. The Gemara says, you know why we were dealing with these cases? Because we're talking about dislocation. It is common for the windpipe to dislocate. It is highly uncommon for the esophagus to dislocate. And so therefore, the Bryce is just dealing with a case that's more common. Tashma. You cut two halves of the two pipes. So by a bird, that's nothing. And by animal, it's for sure nothing. Meaning two halves do not equal a whole when it comes to a bird. By a bird, you have to shecht one of the two or the majority of one of the two. And you can't argue, well, I shechted half of one and half of the other. And, you know, half one half plus one half equals one. Such an argument does not work. Rav Yehuda Amr Ba'ofat Shishchot Esavesha Ve'esavridim. So, and Rav Yehuda says that when it comes to a bird, you have to cut the esophagus and the major arteries connected to the esophagus. The Gemara now points out, Mishum Deveshet Samach Levridim. It's not because Rav Yehuda specifically wants you to shech the esophagus to the exclusion of the trachea, but rather, according to Rav Yehuda, it just happens to be that the major arteries are running alongside the esophagus, and that's why he's saying the esophagus, but not because it's the esophagus to the exclusion of the trachea. Tashma. We'll talk more a little bit later on about Rav Yehuda and the cutting of the major arteries. Tashma. You cut half the windpipe. Now, I already explained this halacha earlier this morning. By the windpipe, by the trachea, so you can have half of it open, and the animal's not a trefa. So the Gemara over here is just... obviously, I'm making a point which is obvious, but I'll spell it out. The Gemara is not endorsing such an action. The Gemara is just simply highlighting, here is where we can go to the limits of this halacha, which is that you can cut half the trachea, circumference-wise. Stop, have a coffee, okay? Have even a second cup of coffee, which I don't recommend back-to-back. And then afterwards, you can go ahead and finish the windpipe, and it's a perfectly good shechita. Now again, consider, once you know the halacha, it makes perfect sense. Because when you cut half, what have you done so far? No. Nothing. Meaning you haven't trafed the animal up, nor have you shechted it. Fine. So in other words, at this point in time, now the animal's still a kosher animal. Now when you go and you cut the rest of it, so now the shechita is a good shechita because now that's shechita. Now, are we talking about an animal? Well, that's kind of hard to imagine because by an animal, you also have another pipe that you have to cut through. You have the esophagus. So presumably we're talking about a bird. Now, if we're talking about a bird, what are we describing? Which pipe are we describing? The trachea. So not the esophagus. So this seems to be a good raya that it could be either or. So my la bof, my gamar gamar la gargaris lo, bebehimo my gamar gamar la shchita kula. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? It could be talking about an animal. When it says the word gamra, you finish, it means finishing the trachea and also cutting the esophagus. We could read the braisa that way. Tashma. Now, again, this is a Mishnah that we're going to be learning inside in tomorrow's daf. Half the pipe is cut, and half the pipe is already open. And now what you do is you just give it with a knife, a back and forth, and just cut a little bit more, and congratulations, that is a proper shechita. Now, my love, be'ofu, my gamar, gamar lakana. Now, again, presumably what we mean is that you just cut a little bit more, And it's a good shechita because we're talking about a bird, and you only need to cut one siman. And the Gemara says, lo bebehema. The Gemara says, no, that's not accurate. Actually, we're talking about an animal. My gamro, gamro leveshet. And gamro means that we're looking to finish both the kana and the veshet. Tashma. Ketza molkin chatzasov, how do you do malika? Chotech shedro, mafrek is below rov basar. So you take your fingernail, and you go through the back of the neck of the bird. So you go directly through the spinal column, spinal cord. Make sure not to cut the muscles and the connective tissue of the spinal column. Achimagila veshet, o lekane. And now you're going to hit. And look at how the Braisa phrases it. Either or. Either the esophagus or the trachea. And by the way, because we're coming in from the back, so therefore the first pipe you're going to be hitting is the esophagus. It could be why the Braisa over here mentions esophagus before the trachea. So achimagila veshet, o lekane. Higila veshet, o lekane. Chotech simon echad. Verov basar imo. Then what you're going to do is you're going to be cutting the one siman, and then you're going to be also at the same time also cutting through the muscle and the connective tissue. So uva ola shnaim or rov shnaim. Now if this was an ola as opposed to a chatas, then you're going to be going through both pipes or the majority of both pipes. Tiyufta derav adav ra'av tiyufta. Now in this brisa when describing malika, now I know it's not shechita, but it doesn't. But still, the point is the same point. In other words, it's clear in this brisa that it could be either the kana or the veshet, and this seems to be a refutation of the position of Ada Ba'ava, what we would call checkmate. And so the Gemara says, so therefore we are going to be subscribing to Rav Nachman's viewpoint that with the bird, it's either the kana or the veshet. Now the Gemara has a funny question, now my Havi Allah, now what's the conclusion? Now this is one of those strange times in the Gemara where the Gemara is asking what the conclusion is immediately after telling us what the conclusion is. Meaning, well, the Gemara just told us that we refuted Rav Ada Ba'ava, and what is the Gemara doing now asking, well, what's the conclusion? So Kedekamart, so the Gemara itself wonders, what do you mean, what's the conclusion? We just said it. To which the Gemara says, I know we just said it, but I don't love it. We said it, but I don't love it. So Dilmashani Hasam Dika Shedra Mafrekas. So the Gemara says, because, you know, you're right, in that price that we just learned together, so it did said either or. But can we consider, that's talking about Malika. So you have already now stuck your fingernail through the spinal column, the spinal cord, and so you've already done major damage to the bird. So over there, I'll tell you that you want to finish the job. So you can either go through, you can go through the esophagus, or if you want, you can go through the trachea. There, you already have taken out significant life force of the bird, and there, either or would suffice. But what I would argue is that if we're talking about a standard shechita, and you want to take out the life force of the bird, and granted, you don't have to go through both, you only need to go through one, but the more sensitive one, meaning the esophagus, and not the trachea, I don't think the proof is compelling, says the Gemara. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's consider the following. Gahu bar irzadave be rava, asa, what happened is the following. Yeah, there was a bird that was, it's an Ivza, which generally translates as a goose. Okay, or whatever, it's a type of bird. And it was in Rava's house. And the problem was, it's on the front of the neck. So clearly there was already some red, meaning there was some bleeding on the neck. And Amar Rava Heichanavid. Now the bird was still alive, so we're going to shech the bird. But here's the problem. Under normal circumstances, we do not suspect that the bird is a trefa, right? We learned that at the beginning of the Masechta. We have a chazaka that an animal is not a trefa unless we know otherwise, unless there's a reyasa. So that means that under normal circumstances, we're going to assume that the bird is not a trefa. However, over here, there's a reyasa. There's bleeding from the neck, and so now we have to suspect that maybe there is either a puncture of the esophagus or a major, major severance of the trachea. Now, here's the problem. We're going to shech the bird, and then we're going to do an examination later. Forensically, we don't know. It could very well be that the perforation that existed in the esophagus was sliced right through by the knife. Now, again, under normal circumstances, we would never make such an argument. But here we would, because there's already compelling evidence that something is wrong. So, Amar Rav Heichanavid. The Gemara now on the top of the next Amud. Nishchate v'hadar nivdekei dilma b'makom nekev kashachin. So if we first shecht and then try to do an examination later, the examination later proves nothing. Because it could very well be that the hole that existed was in the esophagus right at the point of shechita, and forensically I simply won't know. And Dilma b'mak, I'm sorry, so nivdike v'hada nishchete. So the Gemara says, well, what do we do now? Why don't we just peel away a little bit at the skin and check the esophagus right there and then? The problem is that a proper examination of the esophagus cannot be done externally. It can only be done internally. Meaning if we were to pull the esophagus out, and again, if you're going to the presentation this week, so, you know, we can ask him to do this. So, by the way, you have to have the stomach for all this. So, not now. I'll tell you later. So, with the esophagus, so the esophagus cannot be examined from the outside. From the outside, it is red in color, and so therefore you're not going to be able to see whether or not there was a perforation. What you have to do is you have to basically take the esophagus tube, make it, what's it called, pull it inside out. The inner lining of it is white, and so therefore, if in fact there's a nekev, so we'll be able to tell once we take the tube and make it inside out. Good.
It has to penetrate all the way
through. Ah, good. So that can obviously only be done after the shechita. So we can't do an examination before the shechita, but if we do it after the shechita, I might have cut right through the perforation, and I'll never know. So what we have, what's called, is we're at a problem right now. What do we do? So, Amar le Rav Yosef, Berei nivdekei lakana v'nishchatei lakana lichshere v'hadu lefchu leveshu levdekei. So he says, okay, so I'll give you the solution. It's not so difficult. So what you'll do is you'll just cut the trachea, rendering it a good shechita. Then afterwards, then we're going to take the esophagus, then we're going to poke it inside out, and then we're going to do an examination of the esophagus. Now, obviously, all this is working with the assumption that when you shecht a bird, you only need to cut the trachea. But obviously, he does subscribe to that viewpoint. Amar Rav Chacham Yosef Bari betreifos k'Rabbi Yochanan. And Rav says, you know, my son Rav Yosef, the man's brilliant when it comes to treifos, just like Rav Yochanan was as well. Where do we see Rav Yochanan's brilliance? It's coming up later in the Masechta. Rashi quotes the Gemara. See later for that. Alma echa dekamer, oh hi. And so the Gemara now comes at a definitive conclusion. Previously we were just at a, you know, not definitive conclusion. Now we are at a definitive conclusion that the halach is very clear that when it comes to birds, you shecht one of the two stamanim, which one? Easy. And like Rav Nachman says, and the Gemara now paskins, either one. Okay, Rav Yehuda Amar Chiyishchot. Okay, let's start the next sugya. And we're not going to finish it, but let's start it. Okay, Rav Yehuda Amar Chiyishchot. Now we're talking about the shita of Rav Yehuda. So go back to yesterday's daf and go back into the Mishnah of yesterday's daf, and you'll see that the Mishnah tells us that in order to do a proper shita by an animal, it has to be two siman, and by a bird, it's one siman. And then Rav Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah says, and you have to cut the vridim as well. You have to cut the major arteries that run through the neck. Now, it's not clear a number of things. Was he talking about animals and birds? Was he talking just about birds? Why would you have to cut the vridim? Is that part of the shechita process? Is that for something else? So a lot of points to take into consideration when talking about the shechita Rav Yehuda. And so let's begin the Gemara. So Amar Rav Chista lo Amar Rav Yehuda ela ba'of hol v'tzalo kulo ke'echad. Ava behem akevan de man sacha aver lo tzarech. I'm sorry. Lo tzarech. So the understanding, the correct understanding of Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Chisda, is like this. This requirement of cutting the major arteries, or I should say the major blood vessels, of the neck while doing shechita has nothing to do with shechita. It's not a shechita halacha. If it were a shechita halacha, you'd have to do it both by birds and by animals. It's not. It's a halacha in dam. We know, of course, that we're not allowed to eat dam. The consumption of dam is an issa daraisa with an onish karis if done intentionally. So what we want to do with an animal is we want to extract the blood from the animal. Ah, you see, when it comes to an animal, blood extraction is really simple. Because after shechita, what we're going to end up doing, the animal's really large, is that before we do anything else, we're going to cut the animal up into pieces. And so if there's any blood running through the major blood vessels of the animal, so there are plenty of portals in which the blood are going to come out as we're cutting the animal up. What about the blood that's in the muscles? We're going to discuss that later in the Masechta in terms of how that's extracted, either through roasting or through salting. That we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. But in terms of the blood that's running through the major blood vessels of the animal, that's not a big deal. We're cutting the animal up. But when it comes to a bird, What typically happens by a bird is that you shech the bird and you go right and you go right to the pit and you start roasting it right there. So how are we going to be extracting the blood? So Rav Yehuda says that's the key. In other words, do it at the time when you're shechting. Not because this is part of the shechita, this is just simply part of the halachas of blood removal. So make sure that you're going to be cutting major blood vessels while you're shechting the bird, because since we're roasting the bird whole, so therefore now is the time to extract whatever major blood is running through the bird. The Gemara continues, Lememra the time of the Rav Yehuda Mishum Dam. Who? So that's what you're telling me. That this is a dam-based halacha. V'hatanan, the Gemara says, but what about the Mishnah? Rav Yehuda Amar Achi Yishchot is Avridim. Now read the Mishnah carefully, because the Mishnah says, Achi Yishchot es Avridim. Right. So Ema Achi Yinkov es Avridim. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's true, but what we'll do is we'll read the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually means Nekev. It just simply means that we have to pierce the blood vessel. Doesn't mean you have to shech the blood vessel. It just simply says that now is the most auspicious time to do it. While you're shechting, now is the time to go and make sure that you're cutting the blood vessels as well. Tashma vridim b'shechita div Rav Yehuda. So aim of vridim sarchlan nakvam b'shechita div Rav Yehuda. It's a similar back and forth. In this brisa, the word shechita is used, but the Gemara just simply qualifies. It means at the time of shechita. Tashma. Amalo le Rav Yehuda me'achar shlo husku revridim el lohotzi mehem dam ma'li b'shechita ma'li shelo b'shechita ma'li shelo b'shechita. So they challenge Rav Yehuda. Yeah. So this has nothing to do with shechita, right? This is all about blood extraction. So then you can do it later. You don't have to do it now. Why do it now? So mechlad Rav Yehuda savor b'shechita. So now, by virtue of the Chachamim saying that, it sounds like Rav Yehuda fundamentally disagrees. And he and Rav Yehuda is holding that this is part and parcel of Shechita. Hachi ka'amre le. So the Gemara says, or right, the correction should be lehu. Right? What happened? I lost the Bach. Oh, no, hachi ka'amre le. Okay, sorry. So mali lanakvim b'shah shechita, mali lanakvim shlo b'shah shechita. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Right, because this is them talking to him. So they're saying to him, if this is a halach in dam and not a halach in shechita, so then do it later. Why do it now? V'hu savar. Now, his counter argument is that he agrees fundamentally that this is a halach in dam, not a halach in shechita, but his counter argument is b'shah shechita asidam, dechayim. Shelo b'shah shechita lo asidam, dekarir. Right. At the time of shechita, so where's the blood right now in terms of temperature? Body temperature. Right? In other words, I don't know currently. I could have looked it up beforehand. So I don't know what the bovine body temperature is at an average. But in other words, here's what I do know. It's warm. It's, you know, warm close to hot. So in other words, so at that point in time now, by the way, we already noted earlier that the Beis HaShechita, right, is it hot? Is it not hot? Right, something that we discussed earlier in the Masechta in the first parak. But in the meantime, however, if you want the blood to come out flowing, now is the time to do it. Meaning at the time of Shechita, where the blood is going to be at its warmest that it's going to be, because any time now going on, obviously it's going to cool down and the blood's going to start coagulating, start congealing, and that's no good. So therefore, now's the time to do it. So Rav Yehuda maintains this position. This is not a halach in Shechita. This is a halach in dam. Why am I insisting that you're doing it during the Shechita? It's the best time to do it. Right. Okay. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll start with the Bar Rav Yirmi, one of Rav Yirmi's questions. Okay, always get excited when Rav Yirmi asks a question. Okay, that's where we start tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's quickly recap. Three major points that we discussed in today's daf. One is Shechita es Of is Minatara Midrabanan, Machlokes HaTanai, Machlokes HaMarayim. Two, right, easy daf to summarize. Two, the Mishnah's requirement by a bird is to shech one of the simanim. Is it either or is it specific to the esophagus? Machlokes HaMarayim, the Gemara concludes like Rav Nachman, either or. And three, the third thing we discussed is Shechita es Rav Yehuda, that you have to cut the major blood vessels of the neck while you're doing Shechita. Rav Chista explains this is not a Shechita halacha, this is a dam halacha. This is for the purposes of extracting blood. Therefore, it only is by birds, not by animals. By animals, there's going to be ample opportunity to extract the blood from the major blood vessels as you're cutting the animal up. But by birds, typically it's roasted whole. So therefore, now is the time to extract the blood. And so therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, you must do so at the time of Shechita, but only as it relates to birds. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Rav Yirmiyah.